Zimbabwe and welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. And I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today on Live Talk, we're looking at a two-day Zimbabwe-US exchange summit currently underway in Harare. But first, let us take a look at what is happening in the Middle East. With Israel tanks surrounding Gaza City, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel will assume overall security responsibility after it ends control of the territory by Hamas militants. After another round of shadow diplomacy, Secretary of State Antony Blinken has acknowledged that the efforts to secure a pause in Israel's bombing of Gaza and to plan for the future of the Palestinians are a work in progress. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports.
1 month after the brutal attacks by the U.S.-designated terrorist organization Hamas that Israel says killed 1,400 people and injured 5,400, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made headlines during an interview with ABC News.
Those who don't want to continue the way of Hamas, it certainly is not, I think Israel will, for an indefinite period, will have the overall security responsibility, because we've seen what happens when we don't have it. When we don't have that security responsibility, what we have is the eruption of Hamas terror on a scale that we couldn't imagine.
At the White House, National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby was asked about Netanyahu's comments.
We'll let them speak to their intentions, but we are definitely having conversations about what the post-conflict environment ought to look like and what governance in Gaza ought to look like. One thing there's absolutely no daylight on is Hamas can't be part of that equation. You can't go back to October 6th.
At the State Department Tuesday, spokesperson Vedant Patel was also asked about the future of Gaza after the current fighting ends.
Gaza is Palestinian land, and it will remain Palestinian land. And generally speaking, we do not support reoccupation of Gaza, and neither does Israel. Secretary Blinken was fairly clear about that during his travels as well.
The Secretary of State just completed another tour of the Middle East. He met with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas and indicated that the Palestinian Authority might be best suited to administer Gaza after the war. One expert who spoke to VOA said he believes a two-state solution for Israelis and Palestinians is still the best hope for a lasting peace in the region. Gilead Scher was chief of staff to former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak. He spoke to VOA via Zoom from Israel.
And I believe that this goes through a rehabilitation of Gaza with a gradual integration of the Palestinian Authority with the help of the Saudis, perhaps, the Gulf states, Egypt, Jordan, the United States, the Sunni axis, the Sunni Western axis could help that come a reality.
Blinken left the Middle East and headed to Asia for a G7 meeting. But the Israel-Hamas war was still very much a top issue of discussion.
Very much appreciate the words of support and sympathy in the wake of the horrific attack by Hamas that did result, as you noted, in American victims as well as American hostages. And this is a very important moment as well for G7 to come together in the face of this crisis and to speak as we do with one clear voice.
Protests of U.S. military support for Israel followed Blinken to Japan as international outrage grows over the mounting civilian death toll in Gaza. At least 10,328 people in Gaza have been killed and 25,900 have been wounded, the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry said Tuesday. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
And now back to our main topic. The United States Embassy Public Diplomacy Section in Harare is holding a two-day summit where alumni members are converging and sharing ideas on best practices in their various fields of work. Addressing delegates at the summit, U.S. Embassy Public Affairs Officer Larry Socha said there were over 300 alumni of programs that have been run by the embassy.
It's really exciting to be here in Harare and to gather over 300 alumni of the nearly two dozen exchange programs that we have out of the U.S. Embassy in Harare and across then Zimbabwe. Represented here are individuals of all different ages, from newer exchange programs like the Mandela Washington Fellowship, which was just created in this past decade, to the International Visitor Leadership Program, which is a program that is over 100 years. Which is over 80 years old now. So we're really excited to have all this energy in the room. Over the next 2 days, we're going to be exploring a number of different topics. On the schedule is everything from climate change to education to artificial intelligence. So we're here to share American ideas. I'm so glad to have so many Zimbabweans, hundreds of Zimbabweans, to share their Zimbabwean ideas with us, because that is what these 2 days is all about. It's about exchange. It's about coming together. It's about connecting and inspiring, so that in the coming years and the coming decades, our two countries can grow closer together and advance in across our common goals that we share.
That was the U.S. Embassy Public Affairs Officer Larry Socha speaking to Studio 7's Tobias Mudzingwa in Harare. Zimbabwe Exchange Alumni Chairperson Ben Ncube also shared his views on the significance of the Exchange Summit. Let's hear what he had to say.
The event that we have today is an alumni summit, which is a two-day program bringing together alumni so we can ideate on what the future looks like for all of us. I think it's very important in so far as it consolidates all the work that alumni have been doing. Most of the alumni of this program are part of it because of the impact they've been creating in their communities. So by virtue of being at this event, they are able to consolidate all the work that they're doing and create more avenues for collaboration. So I think a platform such as this one is excellent for young people, especially those looking to get into different sectors, business, civic space, because the chief makers are here. And any young person who's able to tap into the space can also get access to those resources.
That was Zimbabwe Exchange Alumni Chairperson Ben Ncube speaking to Studio 7's Tobias Mudzingwa in Harare. Ruvarangu Mberi, one of the female participants from Harare, shares her views on the program.
This encounter has been very informative for me. So I was part of the climate change session. That's what I was part of. And, you know, I got to learn so much about climate change. And I think one of the key things that was discussed in the session was the importance of involving young people from the grassroots level and just, you know, sharing information adequately in a way that everyone understands, so that everyone takes little actions which mitigate climate. But overall, all the sessions, I think they've been very helpful for everyone who attended, all the youth who were here, because it was a great networking opportunity. People got to, you know, share business contacts, and it makes room for business partnerships and, you know, business opportunities. So one of the subjects which was also discussed was financing and cooperation between the private sector as well as community-based organizations and different sector players. So this whole encounter has been really useful, because now I think for myself as a climate enthusiast, now I know who to approach when it comes to grants, when it comes to writing of proposals, etc. So it's really good for young people, because it was really eye-opening and also encourages young people to be more active in the business sector.
That there was Ruvarangu Mberi speaking in Harare. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. And today we're discussing about the Zimbabwe-U.S. Exchange Summit currently taking place in Harare. To discuss the matter, we are joined by alumni Tawanda Nyambuya of Amo Organics based in Bulawayo. We also have Loretta Maunganidze of House of Purple in Harare and Professor Elliot Masocha from DeVry University in Ohio here in the United States. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll start off with you, Ms. Loretta Maunganidze. Tell us a little bit about what you are doing and how you've actually benefited from this exchange program.
Okay, so let me start and give you just a brief. I started my journey in 2019 as part of the pilot group. I had been doing business before that, but as an informal. And one thing I need to note is that most opportunities that come have age restrictions. So I was pleasantly surprised to be accepted as someone who was over 50, which is something that I really have to thank the American Embassy for. So in terms of my growth, I have seen huge growth in my business, not only in income, but in knowledge. My knowledge base has increased. I am working from starting as a person who just do tie and dye. I've now moved my business to different levels. I've gone from tie and dye fabrics to bed linen, to community outreaches, to awareness. The growth can't even be measured. But, you know, when I look back at where I was and where I am, and this is all due to the knowledge and the skills that we learned on our OR program.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And I'll switch over to you, Tawanda Nyambuya, of Amo Organics, based in Bulawayo. Tell us a little bit about your program and also how you've actually benefited from this U.S. Exchange Summit that is currently underway in Harare.
Oh, thank you so much. You're willing to listen us. The Exchange program was so informative. I was actually a panelist and an exhibitor at the same time. Mm-hmm. I learned more about what other people are doing. We also discussed and came to the conclusion that there are some methods that we can actually utilize in Zimbabwe in terms of post-harvest preservation and innovation, like sun drying vegetables, like tomatoes. Then coming back to what I'm doing is I'm organic. I'm processing avocado oil, which is a natural product for treating skin problems like eczema, dry skin, and also moisturizes and nourishes your skin. So what we're actually doing here, we are processing avocados which are overripen, and mostly customers, they don't like them. So instead of throwing them in the dump site, we now process them and add value to them. I'm also working on a project of extracting castor oil and also going further to indigenous plants like the Zumbani. I'm also working on that. I want to extract the oil from Zumbani also as a fragrance. Just learning from what other people from other countries are doing. I think the programmers of this program was actually networked. I now have some contacts in Harare, because I'm based in Bulawayo, who are actually interested in my product. Some of them, they wanted me to provide them to their pharmacy. Some they want for retail.
Mm-hmm. And how easy is it to get onto this exchange program? Because we have some viewers that are watching, some are listening. How can they get into such a program?
This program is easy to get. It's on all over internet. On our, if you are part of the email subscribers, myself and the line, some of the Mandela Washington, there are quite a lot of initiatives. Even you can visit the U.S. Embassy. They can provide you with flyers and information on how you can join. So by joining, you sign up, you apply. When you qualify, you can get online programs or going to United States or South Africa for the exchange program.
Thank you very much. I will now switch over to you, Professor Elliot Masocha. You are at a top university here in the United States. How important are programs like this, where the U.S. is actually sharing ideas with Zimbabweans and some of them actually coming over here when they come on these programs?
You know, these are very, very important projects for a country like Zimbabwe that we know that unemployment is at least 80%. So it's a way of creating employment, and targeting the youth is the best, because the youth are the ones who are the future of any country you can think of. And also it's a very good thing for the United States to do that, because it's a way of spreading its good influence to the world that other people may not know. But I think the government, the U.S. embassy to do, is to find ways of making a follow-up, because it is on record from research that small businesses will fail within the next 5 years. We don't want that. We don't wish that. We pray for growth for, you know, students who have gone through these programs, so that they are going to keep on creating employment and find the ways to measure their progress. Because, you know, at the end of the day, money is how you use it. You can get money today, but is that, you know, type of money going to get you to grow your business or not? I want these students to look at the type of products they are coming up with. I know Zimbabwe and many other countries throughout the whole world, they are still stuck on a regular product, when we in the United States here, we are way ahead of a regular product to what is called an emphatic product. That's what I want to see these guys do. An emphatic product is a product that solves multiple problems when it is just one, like an iPhone. It solves a lot of problems. So in terms of growing your business and whatever you are doing, the avocados that I have had, what else can you do with an avocado is what I'll be looking at. And I applaud the United States government for what they are doing, because that's taxpayers' money, by the way, that is being used to help grow the Zimbabwean economy. One thing that always lacks in third world countries, especially Zimbabwe, is the idea of time management, okay? We waste time no matter how much knowledge we get from anywhere. When we go out to implement, you know, that knowledge, we waste time. Everywhere where you see people lining up, whether it is in the bank, whether it is in, you know, supermarkets, we are moving our economy backwards, because time is money. I want everybody listening to, you know, to get that time is money. Do not waste your 24 hours. You got this knowledge that the majority of Zimbabweans don't have. You know, make sure you're going to wise up in using your 24 hours every day, and have mile markers that what have I achieved, you know, in the last 24 hours, in a week, in a month, in terms of growing your business. How many jobs did I create? Okay, because at the end of the day, education means nothing until you use it.
Professor, you mentioned that, you know, there are ways of maximizing on how you spend your days. Maybe can you give us just an example so that those that are listening and those that will listen to this, even if they're not on this program, they can also benefit?
Exactly. There are ways of maximizing the way you use your 24 hours. Okay? So you have to know what you're going to do when you wake up instead of just being blank. What are you going to accomplish? Okay, and how much time are you going to sleep? Don't sleep in competition with a dead body. Okay? Because you have to know that when I wake up, I'm going to do this. When I wake up, and after that, I'm going to do this. So have a plan of action that you are going to be looking at the end of the day, you are going to review that. A lot of people waste time celebrating empty birthdays. What have you achieved when you celebrate a birthday? Age that everybody else can age. Your birthday should be your new year, and you stop celebrating the 1st of January because it's not your birthday. Hook up your goals for the year with your birthday so that that's going to motivate you to give meaning to your birthday rather than just having all those parties. And when we say that, oh, you are old, you get angry. But that's what you are celebrating. You're not celebrating any other achievement at all.
Thank you there, Professor. Let me turn over to Loretta Maunganidze. You spoke about age, something, you know, that really caught my eye. You said that you felt that you were over 50 and maybe you wouldn't make it to this program. Tell us a little bit about just getting in, and also to other women who are above a certain age who also want to maximize on some of these programs. What can they do? What did you learn that could benefit a woman listening out there?
Yeah, thank you so much. You know, what I learned is age doesn't restrict you. If you are prepared to do what Professor is saying, that is to count your hours and make your hours count. You know, sometimes we live, and I, there's something I said today to one of the other people that was at our summit, and I said that let us decide what is important. And instead of running up to 10 different things and saving ourselves 10 ways, let us focus. So if we find it an opportunity, grab the opportunity. Whatever people are saying that you're too old and that, you know, you can't do it, I think we forget that, and we must just focus that, you know what, this is an opportunity given to me. Let me make the most of it. Because no one is going to do it for you. I think knowledge is something that we need to run after, no matter what our age is. We are never too old to learn, and we are never too old to be offered an opportunity that's going to change our life. So for women listening, I want you to know that go for it. There is nothing holding you back. Age definitely doesn't hold you back. Put it in your mind that I'm going to take this and I'm going to make the best of it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. They'll come back to you, Mr. Tawanda Nyambuya. You heard what Professor Masocha was saying about maximizing time. Can you just take us through? I know this is a two-day summit. What does tomorrow hold?
Sorry, can you come again?
What does tomorrow cover in this summit?
Okay. So tomorrow we are continuing exhibiting those who are exhibiting, and there are also sessions which are coming up tomorrow. And there will be a lot of networking. We are sharing ideas. For me, I will preempt more what I do, what I have learned in terms of utilizing the natural resources, value adding. We actually discovered that we are so blessed in Zimbabwe. Our natural products, our crops that we grow, besides having that nourishment benefit, they actually contain some pharmaceutical properties. So it also reduces now the cost of modern medication, which might be expensive to men. So by zeroing in on indigenization and also the fact of, I learned something from Professor, utilizing our time. So let's spend our time, what we learned at school and also what we learned during fellowships, let's now apply it to practical so that we solve solutions in our committees. I am pretty sure tomorrow it will be more exposure, and I will learn more, and I'm expecting those who couldn't afford to attend today, tomorrow I think they will come, because there is more of networking and exchange of ideas.
Thank you there. We were also expecting to hear from Chef Mhleng from Bulawayo, but we're having issues with her phone. But Chef Mhleng, it would have been really interesting to find out how you are actually benefiting from that program as someone who's a chef. But your last word, Professor Masocha, to some of the people that are watching and our alumni who are here.
I want them to know that, you know, when they look at growing their businesses, they also have to look at the rural areas. That's the biggest market that they can go and organize and grow their businesses. That's number one. And there is a saying that says there is a fortune at the bottom of the pyramid. Those poor people are the ones that drive the economy. So don't forget them. In cities, it's so much overcrowded. Let's spread all the way to the rural areas and grow our businesses and start our business there and help people. As you help people, you are also cultivating, you know, growing your prayer best, because you can't do it alone. You need support. Okay? You need support. So that's what I can just say. Get known. Make sure you are going to spend less to produce more. That's what business is all about. And make sure you always improve your products. You have so many fruits, as have been just mentioned here. Here in the United States of America, mangoes, for example, they are frozen and sold maybe a year later. And, you know, apples are used, cut into small pieces, sliced in small pieces, you know, and then sold as chips. So, but we throw away all that. We are sitting on top of wealth in Zimbabwe. We only need to think critically, innovate, and they grow from that. The market is already there.
Thank you so much there, Professor Masocha, for having been on our program. And I'll come to you, Madam Maungani, your last word.
Thank you. So what I'd like to say is don't stick to what you started with. If you start and you see it's not working, be quick to change. You know, sometimes we start a business, we haven't thought it through properly. And we run and waste time on it. So let's look at it, let's plan, and let's evaluate. What have we done? As Professor said, how have we spent our day? If we wake up in the morning with a plan for the day, then we won't waste time. And I think also it's now about move from, if you're a person and your business is about selling a product, move from selling to training. Empower the next generation. So that is the knowledge that you have is imparted to someone else. That is especially what I feel about women, is that the skills we have, the skills that we've been taught and have been handed down to us, it's time for us to stand and say to the next woman, let me empower you, let me teach you, mm-hmm. so that what has helped me will help you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Nyambuya. Tawanda, your last word as we wrap up.
Okay, thank you. I say to all people who haven't joined the fellowship, mm-hmm. please feel free to ask for information. You join, you learn more in these fellowships. And also to young entrepreneurs, I'm saying, let's keep pushing. Let's not just wait for funding and the complaints about funding. Let's try to utilize the knowledge that we have. Then we find funding. During the way, and we value it, we network, and one other thing, let's get together and
Thank you so much. And that brings us to the end of our show. And signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.